The Light of Hope, this is our title for today's message. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I believe you all know this verse by heart. And it's only one verse. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Open your Bibles, and we're going to read it together. Is everybody there? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Everybody got their mints in their mouth already? All the mints already? Hey! Ever since I became full-time, I start to learn about the culture of the church. Sermon time, it's mint time. Yes. Are you there, Leo? Yeah. Jeremiah 29. Okay, so we are all there. Verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. First day of Advent, the light of hope. Close your eyes. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, this is encouraging words. In such tough times. Lord, give us hope today. Teach us something today. May our hearts and ears be open. Referring to our last sermon, Lord, may we are hungry, not in our stomach, but may we be hungry in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, just wave your hand. You already knew this verse. Just wave your hand. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Famous verse. It is important that you understand. It is very hard to preach about Jeremiah in Christmas season. Okay? Jeremiah is a very particular context. But it has everything to do with Christmas. Everything to do with Christmas. Who was Jeremiah, church? He was a young prophet. Young prophet. Wow. And here it is something I want to be visual so you understand. This, what I have in my hand, it's the Colosseum. Colosseum? Italy? Rome? Colosseum. Thank you, thank you. Let's pretend this is the temple. Let's pretend this is the temple. So what do I have in my hands? The temple. Good. If you said Colosseum, I would invite you to leave right now because you're not paying attention. So we have the temple in hands. Here it is, church. Nothing different of what you see in the news today. Israel and people attacking Israel. Nothing new, okay? In the history of Israel, there is the temple built by King Solomon, and the enemies of God are attacking the land. Every time a nation comes to attack the land, God raises prophets. Don't give up. Resist. Act like a man. We're going to defend our nation. Every time. How about Jeremiah, church? The youngest guy, God throws him under the bus. What does the prophet Jeremiah need to say to tell the nation? Nation, do not defend. God will take the temple. Wait. God will take the temple and destroy it. Gone. Don't resist. Don't say this is the Lord's house. Don't say we are doing the right thing. God has said the temple, the nation, the worship, the Saturdays, everything is going to be gone. Crazy, right? Nobody says that. You remember Jesus. When Jesus went to the mountain, the disciples were amazed with the temple. And what does Jesus say? Do you think this is amazing? It's going to be gone. God is not against the temple. Don't get me wrong. People are not taking God seriously. That's why God will do that. Are you following me? So the very first time in history, Jeremiah is saying something people are not understanding. So, I put you in the context, this beautiful hope that we just read at church. There is two kinds of people who listen to this message. Some people, as soon as they heard Jeremiah saying, the temple is gone, the religion is gone, we are doomed. Half of Israel, repeat with me, half. So let's make things easy. This side said this. We are not going anywhere. This is the temple. This is the service. We have been doing this forever. We are not going to go anywhere. We stay. The other half heard those words, and what did they do? If God is saying that, we're going to live now. Not tomorrow. Now. The Babylonians are attacking the nation. You don't conquer a city in one day. You need to send troops, and you need to send troops, and you need to send troops. This very first batch heard the words of the prophet Jeremiah, and they believed. If God said the temple is going to be gone, if God said the religion is going to be gone, we are voluntarily surrendering. We are going to Babylon freely. And you know some names. Prophet Daniel, do you know that name? It was the first batch. He was a prophet in Babylon. Prophet Hezekiah, do you know that name? Mordecai. Queen Esther. All of them left early because they understood the message of Jeremiah. Now, when you read these words, I know the plans I have for you to prosper you. Not to harm you. Who do you think God is talking to? To the people who resisted? Or to the people who surrendered and went to Babylon? Which one? I didn't hear you, but you always have the answer. The people in Babylon. The people in Babylon. And that makes difference, church, because these words of hope are not for the people who stayed. They are God's people. They are in the temple. They are sacrificing, but they do not have these words of hope. The people in Babylon, paganism, no temple, no worship, no service. Don't worry. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope. And we're going to get there very soon. Are you in the text? Are you following me? So now let us see these promises of hope. Very simple, church. We're going to stick with the verse. I know plan. I is the subject, God. Know it's the information, knowledge. And plan is the vision. Okay, so it's very important, church, when somebody makes a promise, you need to know who is the person making the promise. Very important. Just for illustration. Vote me and I will solve the problem of the nation. I have a plan for you. Signed up by Government of Canada. I will build the pipeline. 50 years later, and the pipeline is still being built because it's just a promise. The person who is promising can't fulfill it. Yes or no? Am I in the wrong country? Okay, good. Sounds good. It's important when somebody makes the promise, you know who is the person. Can you deliver the promise? And God can. God does deliver his promises. And that gives you hope. But then you learn that God knows the plans he has for you. And church, here it's very, I want you to see with this man, Socrates. Who knows the Greek philosopher Socrates? Plato, Socrates. Socrates had a famous line that the pastor never says. The pastor needs to learn from Socrates. Please say amen. Please say amen. Every time Socrates would talk to someone, whether young or old, whether whatever, he comes to the conversation, he says this, I know nothing. I know this. And the amount of things I don't know are this. That's the approach Socrates had in life. And again, the pastor should learn from Socrates. Yes or no? I'm seeing who is saying amen to that. We're going to talk at the coffee time. So, Jesus, the one making this promise, will never say that. He knows everything. He will never learn. He already knows everything. God is all-knowing. And that's the one making the promise. And that gives you hope. But all of you know that knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Some people have knowledge, information, but that doesn't mean anything. They don't have a plan. They don't have wisdom. They cannot apply their information. That's not with God. God knows knowledge, but God also has a vision, wisdom. He has a plan. Simple and easy. Tomato is a fruit. Yes or yes? Tomato is fruit. Correct? It's not a vegetable. You don't put tomato in the fruit salad. It tastes awful. You eat tomato with vegetables. And that tastes good. It's not the same family, everybody knows, but it is wise to combine the two different families. Still speaking about food, since I know all of you likes McDonald's, tomato and potato, But when you transform tomato into ketchup, and when you transform a potato with a lot of grease, all those things the doctor loves, you know, when you go to the doctor, French fries, it becomes good, right, Leo? Ketchup and French fries. We should go out someday. We should. That's wisdom. You take your information, but you are applying it. Wisdom. That's God. God can deliver the plan. God knows the plan. And God has wisdom. And I think, oh, the candle is gone. I think that's what we talk about when we talk about the candle. God knows what he's doing. And that's the candle of hope. You don't know. I don't know. He does. And that gives us hope. So now, let us go to the middle of this verse. We already know the subject. We already know that God knows everything. We already know he has a plan, and that plan includes you because the plan is for you. Now we see the middle of the verse says this, declares the Lord. Very simple, the next slide. God's voice, church. I really want to read this to you. God does not waste his words. Promises of God and reality are the same thing. There's no difference. And God takes his words so serious that John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the word of God became flesh and walked among us. And the word of God became flesh and died on the cross. And the word of God became flesh and raised on the third day. And the word of God by himself saved you, saved me, and forgave me. God takes his word very seriously. And that's what he wants to tell you. If God has a plan for you, that gives you hope. And I already told you, you don't know what God knows. He has the plan, you don't. Remember that? It is just a candle. It is just a light. It is just a token. I meant to do this, church, purposefully. I meant to do this. Now that I have a fiancé. Okay, that's all I wanted to do. Now that I have a fiancé. I have realized that my communication skills are not that good. So, church, pay attention to this very carefully. I don't know if it's because I'm a pastor and therefore we talk about spiritual things. I usually talk about concept. I'll give you an illustration. Honeymoon. I am Brazilian. I am getting out of Canada. Amen. No cold. We are going somewhere. I don't care where. We're going to go to a hot place. That's all I give to her. We are going to go out somewhere warm. And she is a planner. Where? When? How much? Did you book the tickets? Are we taking the Uber? Ladies of this church, I need counseling. So come back to God. Forget about me for my own sake. God does both, church. God has a concept. God has a vision. But God also knows step by step. Detail, detail, detail. So that gives you hope. That gives you hope. God has a vision and God knows every detail how to fulfill that vision. Even though you don't know it, even though I don't know it. Even though it's the opposite of what you were thinking. You were thinking that this promise was made for the people who resist. This is the temple. This is the land. We will stay here. And then you would think God was promising hope to them. No. Very detailed. I have hope for the ones who understood the temple is going to be gone. And the ones in Babylon, oh, they are going to know me. Even though we don't understand it, God does. And He makes it very clear. That's His voice. That's how serious He takes His voice. And that leads you to the third half of the sermon. The last half of the sermon. Next slide, please. We're going to just talk about the plans. If you read with me, look at how God describes the plan. I have plans to prosper you and not harm you. And I have plans to give you hope and a future. Okay, let us describe this for us. Prosper and not harm, that's talking about good intent. And hope and future, that's talking about a good assurance. So church, to illustrate this, I need to talk about movies. Okay, we're going to talk about movies. Who now likes to watch Christmas movies in this season? Yeah? Good, good. In Brazil, that's not a thing. I need to learn. We don't watch all these Christmas movies. So, if you like to watch movies, you will understand this. Hollywood, they make good movies. Quality. Good sound, good production, good lights. Hollywood makes awful content movies. You don't learn anything with Hollywood. Yes or yes? Quality is good, intent is awful. Back in the days, we're not talking about nowadays, 2025. Back in the days, Christians wanted to put the gospel into movies. And unfortunately, due to lack of funds, due to lack of interest, due to many, many, many reasons, we put out a movie that has a good intention. Yes. How about the quality? Not so good. Just raise your hand very quickly. Do you know the movie Passion of Christ? Christ Passion with Mel Gibson? That is made by a big man, Mel Gibson. Therefore, you have good intent with good quality. Therefore, you have a great movie. Okay? When God tells you, I have plans to prosper you, He's saying, my plan is good quality. And when God says it's not to harm you, God is saying there is good intent. With God, everything's complete. Good quality and good intent. And he's still talking about movie. How can you be assured about the future, church? And again, another question I need to ask you about movies. Who knows this movie? Karate Kid. Yeah, Daniel. Yes, karate. Thank you. Daniel, Sam, and Mr. Miyagi. Do you remember that? Who knows the movie? Who knows that the movie finishes when Daniel does this to the guy to the chin? He does that. Okay, good. Okay. How can you be sure that the devil trying to frustrate God's plan? How can you be sure that the devil will not do like Daniel does? You know, out of the blue, nobody's expecting, and then the devil does to God's plan. And all your assurance, all your future, all your hope is gone. How can you be assured that this situation will never, 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 never gonna happen? It is in the beginning of the text. For I. Who is I? Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. I am. I was in the past. I am in the present. I am in the future. God knows. What does he know? Everything. He knew in the past. He knows in the present. He knows in the future. The devil will never be able to frustrate God's plans because he knows everything. And he already saw everything. And that gives you hope. And assurance. So with that being said, I want to conclude this sermon with a word of caution and a word of hope. Is that fair? Is that fair? With your Bibles with me, we're going to read from verse 10 to verse 13 and verse 14. And we're going to take the word of caution and the word of hope out of the conclusion. Verse 10, everybody with me, we do need to read the church or else you will not see the beautiful hope you have. Verse 10 says, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." So what is the word of caution, church? You will find me, the Lord says, not in the temple, not in the songs. You will find me far from the temple when you seek me with all your heart. The people who stayed behind, they stayed in the temple with an empty religion. There was songs, there was sacrifice, there was weekly service, but it was empty. But to the people who went to Babylon, far from the temple, far from the worship, far from the sacrifices, when that hit them, they realized how much they needed God. And when they realized how much they needed God, they pursued God, and God was found by him, by them. So this is our word of caution. We cannot be in an empty religious life. We take, this is a good spot for amen, we take our Christian life very serious. Amen. And the words of hope. The words of hope. Just like these people were doomed. Point of no return. The temple, the service, the sacrifice will be gone. When we think about Christmas and you see hell and you see death, you know we all were doomed. Doomed to hell. Doomed to death. But then Jesus came. But then the Word of God became flesh. But then we got a Savior. And today, all you need is repentance, forgiveness, and to have a personal relationship with Christ. From this time of Jeremiah, we are talking 3,000 years ago to nowadays, we can truly say God does not dwell in buildings made by the hands of humans. God dwells in your heart, in your heart, in your heart, in my heart. We are the temple of the living God. We have a relationship with God. We can worship God in spirit and in truth. And that gives us hope. And that's the hope of the first light of Advent. May the Lord bless you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. There is hope for us. There is hope in Christ Jesus. We want to take possession of this hope. We want to renew our hearts and commitment with you. And we want to share this hope with others. Amen. Amen.